Today we're going to be talking about peace. Anybody ever want to have peace in your life? All right? That's something that we desire. And I want to talk about a couple of different styles of church, of what some people, and you know, there's many denominations out there, and I believe that in each one of them you can experience the presence of the Lord. How many of you believe that? They're just, you know, you're not used to it, but there are some churches that are very structured, right? I mean, it's like everything is timed out. Some of them have the clocks on the back wall, like, okay, you're going to do this from this minute to this minute, and when that's done, it's time to move on. And they pretty much have everything worked out, how it's supposed to go. And, you know, personally for me, I'm thinking, wow, where's the room for the Holy Spirit? It's like, I'm sorry we didn't schedule you in. No, I'm just kidding. But the other end of the spectrum, how many of you know there's always extremes, especially when it comes to the kingdom of God and in the church, there's always extremes. So there's like super structured, and then let's go with the super unstructured, where everything is basically based upon your feelings. How I feel, we just go with this and we go with that. And I mean, it's just like going down the rapids. There's no control whatsoever. You're just kind of, you're going there, right? And I would say probably for our church, most Pentecostal type churches, we would lean more to less structure. But how many of you know we still have some structure, all right? But how many of you have ever been in a church where there was like nothing? Nothing. I mean, it was like a free-for-all. I mean, lots of shouting, weeping, nothing wrong with that. And here's the problem when you get to that extreme, the extreme end of that, where there's no structure, then the service can really be led by our emotions. All right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It can get there, and you hear people, and we talk about this, we feel the presence of the Lord. And that's a good thing, but if that's the only thing that, you know, okay, when I'm in the presence of the church and the music is just right and everything is just right, then I feel the presence of the Lord. Listen, if that's the only way we based our feelings and sense God, when you get out in the world, how many of you know you don't have the music, you don't have the people shaking your hands and hugging you and all of that, and the end result is that people might tend to gauge their relationship with Christ completely and totally how they feel at that moment. Does that make sense? How I feel at this moment. I just want to be honest with you. There's times that you may not feel the presence of the Lord, but does that mean that you're not walking in the favor of God? Even if you don't feel it. But see, sometimes when we base everything on our feelings and emotional sense, then we go and it's like, oh no, I feel like something is wrong between me and God. And there may be nothing wrong between you and God. We just base it simply on that feeling. And in fact, sometimes when we just live only in that extreme, we might feel worse because in our minds might be overrun with confusing thoughts. Sometimes we get in a situation, I mean, let's be honest, there are circumstances and situations in your life that you're like, why am I in this position? Why is this situation? Why is this relationship falling apart? Why is this financial thing going on? Because then you're thinking, wait a minute, you know what? I was faithful to God. I was tithing. I was doing this. So why are all of these other things happening? And so we have these confusing thoughts. And then we start feeling guilt, and other times we might ask a million questions and get twice as many doubts because we're not feeling it at that moment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Does that make sense? So sometimes when we're in those situations, and I think our churches are probably guilty of this, we use expressions when you're not really feeling God's presence, and we say, listen, brother, you just need to learn to pray. See, you guys knew that. I knew you would finish that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I never really understood what that meant. What am I praying through? Are we praying? What's that? Outer space, right? Pray through outer space. You can't reach God because you got to pray through. How many of you know that the Lord is with you? So there's really nothing to pray through because he is already with you, but we use it. Or we use words like, hold on, just hold on. You know, like you know, I grew up in the Midwest where there's tornadoes, and when you hear hold on, it's like there's a tornado about to pull your way. It's like, hold on, don't let go. How many of you saw Twister? Right? Hang on. It's going to suck you out. And this is one that I've heard people say, never to me, but it says, you know, I haven't felt like the Lord. And they say, well, the heavens are just like brass. Anybody ever hear that one before? A few of you have. And I had to actually look that up because I didn't know what that meant. But that means like the heavens are silent. And so you hear those things. And the fact is that some people live in a constant state of torment even though they have given their life to Jesus. Isn't that true? Some people are tormented in their mind and struggle with all of this stuff even though they've given their life to Jesus. And if this relates to you in any way, get ready because I believe that God has an answer for you today. Amen? I believe this. Listen, this is, here's a quote I want to put up here. There is no reason for you to be troubled or tormented in your mind, especially if you have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no reason you should be tormented in your mind. If you have given your life to Christ, then there's no reason that we should be struggling in this area. Yet, there are many, many believers that love God that struggle in their mind. Isn't that true? It's time for us to be stronger in peace. And listen, the whole purpose that Christ came to earth was to bring peace between God and us. Isn't that true? He came to restore the way it was when God created Adam and Eve. There was peace between man and God. And then sin separated that. God came to restore that. And peace was the central theme of the angel's message to the shepherds. Now, I know this isn't Christmas time, but I want to read to you a passage that we always read at Christmas. Whenever the angels visited the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were what? They were terrified. They were afraid. Something's going on. And I'm going to stop here for a second because I believe that there's a lesson. As we're talking about peace, there's something that we can learn from this thing right here. Because we can totally misread God if we read Him only by how we feel. Isn't that true? We can totally misread God if we only read Him by how we feel. The emotional response that these shepherds had whenever the angels appeared, how many of you know they had no reason to be afraid? And yet they felt terrified. And so were their emotions spot on or were they off? They were off, weren't they? And if their emotions were off base, don't you think that there are times when your emotions, my emotions can be off base? I know it's true for me. I mean, we all do this. We feel it. It's like, oh, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, that we live by faith, not by sight. Some of you may have heard it, we walk by faith, not by sight. Same thing, right? We're walking by faith. What is sight? Sight is one of our five senses, isn't it? It's what we see. And so what I want us to understand is that we should live our life trusting what God says, not totally by the five senses that we have. What are our five senses? Seeing, hearing, smelling, taste, and touch or feel, right? If we live our faith just upon those things. Now listen, this is the good news. God gave us all of those emotions and those senses, didn't He? And so we can experience God through each and every one of them. And I just pulled up a couple of scriptures over each one. Our seeing, Isaiah in 6:1 says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and His train of His robe filled the temple. You know, he experienced God with his vision, didn't he? There's hearing, Revelations 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So God still speaks to us so we can experience God with what we hear, right? Not always with our physical ears, but spiritually hearing from God. Smell, this was an interesting one, 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. How many of you know that there's an aroma of the presence of the Lord? And when you begin to walk and you begin to look more like Him, how many of you know you begin to smell like Him? Let's be honest. You hang around a men's sweaty locker room for a long time, even though you didn't sweat, how many of you know you start smelling like it? Right? It's like, ooh, where you been? It's like, been in that locker room. But if you hang around Christ and you're in his presence, how many of you know there is a spiritual smell that you have, and it's like, it's different. Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't that an interesting verse? I can taste, but I can also see God's presence. What about feeling? Luke 24:32, when it says they asked each other, these were the on the road to Emmaus, they said, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? So they felt something. Their hearts were burning within them that there's something different about this guy that we're walking with. So here's the bottom line. We can experience God with our five senses, right? However, we should never trust them to direct our walk in the Lord completely. Amen? We can trust God, we can trust his word, but if we're relying on our senses, then we're going to get off path. What does David say in Psalms 119? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you know that if we're going to walk this path, we've got to follow the word of God? Amen? We can't always trust, like I said, our senses. You know, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they said their hearts were burning. How many of you know, sometimes you may just be in an emotional mess, and you may have chemicals going on, and you may have had some kind of horrible circumstance, and that's affecting everything else about your life. And if you trust your emotions at that point, I want to tell you, you may get off base. Sometimes we can't tell if our hearts are burning or if we just had bad pizza and we got heartburn. Amen? It's like, oh man, is that the Lord? No, you shouldn't eat that pepperoni pizza at 10 o'clock at night. That may be what it is. So we cannot always trust our feelings. But how many of you know we can always trust the Word of God? Amen? We can always trust what God says. And going back to the Scriptures, the angel continued after they were frightened. He says that the angel reassured them. He said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Excuse me. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped, I love this version, snugly strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And look what it says. Peace on earth to those whom the Lord God has pleased. That was the message of Christ coming. Listen, you're going to have peace. You get to experience this peace. I mean, listen, there's really nothing threatening about a baby, yet they were afraid until they heard this message. Do you realize that God sent his son not to condemn the world, did he? He didn't do it for that. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Some version of that most people have memorized. The very next verse, I think, is just as important to memorize. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He didn't come to point his finger and say, you messed up, you messed up, you messed up, all of you guys messing up. He didn't do that, did he? I mean, think about it. We feel like, oh, no. I hear people, I don't know if I want to go to church because my life is such a mess, all right? Anybody ever felt like that before you came? I can't go there because all of those people are good, and I'm not so good, so I don't know if I can go there. And you feel like you're in trouble, but good news is that Christ didn't come to condemn us. We were already condemned, weren't we? I mean, think about it. As a kid, anybody ever get in trouble as a kid? Come on, raise your hand, John. Okay, just messing with it. All of us have gotten in trouble. And I was sitting there thinking about this, you know, because we always think, oh, you know what, when your parents caught you doing whatever you weren't supposed to do, that's when you got in trouble, right? Actually, that's not. That's when you got caught. We got in trouble the moment we did whatever we weren't supposed to do. And I was sitting there thinking, and here's the proof of it. When I was, I don't know, 11, 12 or whatever, I used to play soccer. And, you know, I'd kick the ball around. And I was trying to practice, like, dribbling it on, keeping it up in the air. And my parents told me, don't do that in your room. You need to go outside and do that. Well, I was in my room doing it, but I wasn't supposed to. And I had a ceiling fan with one of the little big globe lights on it. Notice the word had that I had there. So I'm sitting there practicing, and I'm doing good. And all of a sudden, I did a little bit better than I thought that I should have done. Next thing I know, there's glass all over the floor, everywhere. Now, my parents didn't find out that moment, but man, immediately I felt like I'm in trouble, right? Even before they found out. It wasn't until later on that evening that they found out. I couldn't hide that one forever. I was thinking about stealing the globe from my sister's room, but I didn't think that would work out. So the problem is I was in trouble from the moment I disobeyed. And that's true with us in the world. We think, oh, Jesus, you know, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can come to him because, listen, we were already in trouble. He came to save us. He came to bring us peace. Look at the very next verse in John 3:18. He says, whoever believes in me is not condemned. Isn't that good news? But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Listen, the great news is this, that as far as God is concerned, you and I are at peace with him the moment we receive Christ. Amen? Does that make sense? The moment you accepted Jesus Christ, you're no longer in trouble. You are no longer standing condemned. Until we accept Christ as our Savior, we stand condemned. The world is already condemned when we haven't accepted Jesus. But the moment you turn, that's good news right there. He had restored that. Here's proof of that. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been made right, everybody say made right. In God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Christ Jesus our Lord has done for us. Amen? How many of you know that's good? We have been made right with God. We have peace with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And this is a reality that, let me tell you, needs to sink in. You are standing, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are right with God. There is no, you are no longer against him. You are with God. And you are not condemned. Amen? Stop condemning yourself. Why do we condemn ourselves when God is saying, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you, but yet we do that. And when we do that, we don't have any peace. As we walk around with the guilt, I mean, the guilt that I had, and I don't know if it was the guilt or the fear that after I broke that glass light, but that stuff gets removed, amen? I had, you know, in my walk with the Lord, I've had times where I didn't have peace, and I didn't understand this truth completely. I didn't have it. I had peace, but I didn't even know it. How many of you know that's true for many of us? You have peace, but when we don't walk in it, somehow we don't know it because our feelings tell us, I don't have peace. My feeling, you know, maybe you blew it big time. Maybe you just really messed up in who knows what situation, and now you're feeling guilt and all of this, and you feel like you got to do some kind of penance to get back in God's good favor. But the good thing is that you're already in God's favor. Because of what Christ did on the cross. It's not like, oh, I'm going to cover all of your sins, you know, but that last one you did, whoo, I don't know about that. How many of you know that doesn't make a lot of sense? I mean, when you actually think about it, it doesn't make sense, but yet those are things that go on in our mind. Oh, man, I've done too much. I've blown it too much. We've all done this. We've all done it. Listen, I know people that have gotten saved every week. When I was growing up, when I first started going to church as a teenager, I remember there was a couple of different people. They were at the altar every week getting saved. Amen? How many of you know you don't have to get saved every week? But yet when you carry guilt around and all of that and you don't feel the peace of God and you don't understand you have it, it's like, oh, man, I'm going to go back to the altar. Maybe I'm going to get it right this time. Maybe I can do it this time. How many of you have known people that have gotten saved over and over and over again? It's like, didn't you just accept Christ yesterday? Yeah, but man, you don't know what I did to, you know, yesterday after that. It's like, listen, we're at peace. If you are a believer, here's the thing. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to choose to walk in peace. Wait a minute, I thought it was just a feeling. No, it's not necessarily a feeling. You do feel it, but it's a choice that you and I make every single day. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to prove this to you. Colossians 3:15, it says, and let, everybody say let, the peace that comes from Christ. How many of you know you can either let something or not? You can either allow it or not allow it. Don't we have a choice in what we allow into our life? And it says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Amen? And always be thankful. How many of you know your calling is to be in peace? And so if you're not living in peace, if you're not walking with the peace of God, then you're not walking in the thing that God has called you to do. I want you to be at peace. Peace is your choice. We get to choose it every single day. And listen, we have to choose it every day sometimes. Sometimes the circumstances want to choose it, but other things, it's our choice. That means peace does not automatically come over you. It's not like, okay, if I get in the lotus style and hum and light some incense, then I'm going to be in peace. How many of you know that that doesn't work like that? You can't even, like, you know, smoke the things you're not supposed to smoke and say, peace, bro. How many of you know that's not going to bring you peace? Doesn't come automatically. And I want to tell you this. If peace is not controlling you, then something or someone else is. Amen? If peace is not controlling your life, then there is something or someone else in your life that is controlling you. It doesn't come just because you wanted to. It is determined by your mindset. What am I going to set? Where is my mind at for peace to be there? Romans chapter 8, 6, again, so letting, everybody say letting, your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, right? If we just allow that sinful nature, those thoughts, but letting, again, this is a choice. That we could just simply put the word allow. If you allow your sinful nature to control your mind, then you're going to walk in death and everything's going to be miserable. But if you allow the Spirit to control your mind, it will lead to life and peace. And so what are we allowing? What's going on in our mind that is either allowing us to walk in death or allowing us to walk in peace? I don't know about you, but I want peace. Amen? And not just in the Middle East. Okay, that was bad. I want peace in my heart because I can't control the circumstances of our world. Anybody here have that ability? Can anybody control the election that is coming up? How many of you wish you could? Yeah, I wish that I could, but then even if I could, I wouldn't even know what to do. Okay, you have control, so who are you going to put in there? I have no idea. But you know what? You can't control the circumstances. You can't control your health situation sometimes. If something happens to you, you can't control it. You can't control other people in your relationship. Some of you here have relationships that are fractured, and you want to fix it, but you can't fix it because you can't control the other person, right? There are so many things that you can't control, but we can control what goes on in our mind. We can control whether we allow our sinful nature to be the things that we dwell on or that whether we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell and to control our mind. Amen? It's a choice. So back to Colossians 3:15 that I read a minute ago. It says, and this is very practical. How many of you like practical steps from the Word of God? Amen? And so Paul is saying this, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. It's like, well, that's wonderful. How do I do that? How do I allow the peace of God? Okay, God, rule it, do it. You know, and you're trying to get him to do it. That's not how you do it. He goes on to tell you in verse 16. He says, let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your life. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Amen? So this is three very practical ways that you can begin to allow the peace that comes from Christ to begin to rule in your heart. The first one is the message of Christ and all of its richness fill your lives. That's why it's important that we get into God's Word on a regular basis. Amen? That's why it's important even coming to church. And if you miss a service, like I said, we have all of our messages online. If you have access to that. And you know what? I've got to meditate on God's word. I've got to get his word in my mind and controlling and thinking about that. So if I don't let the message in, then I'm not going to walk in peace, am I? If I'm not listening to it, then he says, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. I don't know if you know this or not, but the relationships that we build with each other are very important. It's not like, hey, I don't have any friends, so I just want to hang out and have some friends and, you know, let's talk about whatever sports team or the weather. How many of you know we are actually here to encourage one another? We're here to build one another up. Yes, we can do the talking about the sports teams, and I was talking with Dennis a minute ago. He's got his Golden State Warriors. How many of you like rooting for them? How many of you know that there's something, there's an anointing on them because Golden State Warriors, he added on his page, GSW, that is my initials. So I feel the Lord's anointing on that team for that purpose there. So, you know, we can joke, we can laugh, we can have good times, but listen, if that's all my relationship is and I don't ever encourage and build each other up and be real with one another, then we're missing something that actually gives us peace. We get peace from one another as we do that. And then he says this, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is not something, I knew that we should only sing hymns. How many of you know the hymns that we sing today were none of them were around, you know, unless they were singing psalms back in this day. These are just spiritual songs that bring our focus back to God, because that's really where peace begins to lose it, is that we lose our focus on the things that we already know to be true. I probably haven't told you anything, if you've been serving the Lord for a while, that's like a newsflash. Okay, I know that I have peace with God, but yet I still have worry and anxiety and all of these things that come into my life. So if you know it, but you still have that, then something is wrong. That means we have gotten our focus off. And so listening to messages, how many of you ever been encouraged listening to a message? I hope I see everybody's hand. All right, yes. How many of you are like, I can't wait till you shut up because you like bore me? No, don't say that. And so, and maybe not me, I know Pastor Ray, you know, wherever you go, been to other churches, maybe you listen online, you've been encouraged by that because it brings your focus back. Same thing. How many of you ever been encouraged having a conversation with another brother or sister in the Lord? You came with a heavy burden, and you know what? It wasn't necessarily in the church environment. Maybe you had coffee with them, and you just said, you know what? Let's talk. And you got built up and encouraged in the midst of that, and it brought you peace in the midst of that. How about this? How many had been at a place where you didn't have peace, and then there was a song, a hymn, or a spiritual song that God spoke to your heart, and you listened to it, and it brought you back to a place of peace? Anybody? I want to tell you, and this is just very practical, because this week, on Thursday morning, I woke up at probably 4 o'clock in the morning, and I just had this situation that I've been involved in that it was bringing a lot of worry and anxiety and concern. I don't know about worry, but it was really concerning. And, you know, somewhere after about an hour and a half of not being able to go back to sleep, I'm a little slow sometimes, I realized, you know what, the devil is like stealing my peace. He's like, I can't even go back to sleep. And I realized it. And so I went ahead and got up and had coffee. How many of you know that brings a certain amount of peace right there? Ah, thank you, Lord. But not really. That's not lasting. And I just wanted to spend some time with the Lord. And I got into his word. But then I put on some music. You know, I got, it's so easy today. You can just flip on Pandora or whatever you might have. And this one song came on, and man, I mean, a few of the verses in it just really captured my heart, and I probably listened to it about 5 or 6 times, and man, by the time it was over, I was in such a place of peace in the presence of the Lord. The situation that had brought concern was still the same, right? Nothing had changed right there, but everything had changed up here. And it's because I began to focus on him. And so, since I'm preaching this message about peace, I'm going to let you guys listen to the song that brought me such peace just 3 mornings ago, Thursday morning. And you can go ahead and play. play that if you want. And I just want to encourage you, before you do play it, go ahead and stop it for a sec. Sorry. The phrases or the word verses, I'm not sure. I'm not a musician. So one of the words said that really spoke to me, the waves and winds still know his name. And if you know what the story, because I really had to, I was pondering that in my heart. What does that mean? And remember when Jesus spoke to the storm and the waves quieted down and the wind stopped blowing? And I really felt like the Lord was saying in my heart as I was listening, God can speak to you through that. He says, you know what? Whatever circumstance is blowing against you, whatever is coming, listen, they still know his name. And they still have to bow at the name of Jesus, don't they? And he can still speak to the situation in your life. Whatever it is that's bringing worry and concern and sometimes feels overwhelming, I want to tell you that the wind and the waves still know his name. And you begin to speak the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden, I experienced that peace. And it was like, oh, Lord, this is so good. This is so good. This is in the midst of preparing this message. So the message of Christ can speak peace to your heart. Sometimes you need to meet. And a few hours after that, I actually met with Pastor Ray, and we were talking about another circumstance. But it was encouraging to me in the midst of that. And then just the whole thing, God can bring that peace. But how many of you know it was a choice? I could have continued laying there in bed, or I could have gotten up and just worried, you know, had the coffee and had only the peace that that brought, which was only over until that cup's gone. Or I could experience the peace of God and let it rule in my heart. And I want to tell you, the situation is still the same today, but I want to tell you that I have not experienced a lack of his peace since Thursday morning. Amen? Because he just assured me that he is in control, and I don't have to worry about it. I did that. Amen? Aren't you glad? I love what Isaiah breaks this down even more for us. Don't you love God's word? This is going to bring peace to your soul if you'll begin to apply it. We've got to program our mind with the Word of God. Because we have lived, however long we have lived, we've lived with the mindset of the world. Even if you have served Christ all of your life, how many of you know we still live in this culture that is not a Christian environment? Oh, isn't the United States of America a Christian country? No. Amen? Yes, there's a lot of believers here, but the philosophies and the thought process are not. And so we have to reprogram our mind. And Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 through 12, says, let the wicked change their way and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Listen, before we became Christians, before you began to follow Christ, we were in that group. We needed to change our ways and banish the thoughts of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. Amen? That salvation happens at that point. And then verse 8, he says this, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's way of thinking and doing is different than ours, right? Completely different. Verse 10, I love this analogy he draws. The rain and snow come down from heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow and produce seeds for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Then, verse 11, it is the same with my word. Everybody say the same. The same with God's word. What is the same? Just as the rain and come down and brings harvest and brings vegetation and fruit and all of that, God's word, he sends it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Isn't that good? Listen, if we don't have his word in our heart, if we don't meditate on it, if we don't get it on the inside of us, then guess what? We're going to be in a spiritual drought. California is coming out of a drought, right? And we prayed for rain. We want rain. Oh, God, send the rain because we want that. But at the same time, there are many, many, many believers that are in a spiritual drought and haven't prayed about anything. They don't even realize it. They don't even realize they're in a drought. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, and you're just kind of like trying to struggle through life. But if you can allow God's word to get in there, it'll be better than the rain that we have gotten this spring. Aren't you thankful for that? I want some spiritual rain. And so God is comparing his word and letting that get on the inside of us in the same way that rain comes. If you feel like spiritually you have been struggling, I want to tell you there is peace available. But you got to get into God's word. You got to allow God's word to get into you, right? And so, you know, you can hear songs, you can sing songs. I had heard that song numerous times before, but there was something about it, you know, before it was like all up here, but then God began to take a couple of those words and get them down into here. And the same way, there's a lot of people that read the Bible, but they haven't allowed the Bible to read them and let it get on the inside. So anyway, as you do that, he says, you will prosper everywhere I send it. Verse 12, you will live in joy and peace. How many of you know our world is looking for those two elements? They want joy, so you know what? Let me just drink and do all of this, and woo-hoo, let's have a big old party. And you know, when the party's over, the joy is gone, isn't it? They're looking for peace, but it says, if you do this, you will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. You know, I used to think about how odd that would be to see a mountain singing and trees clapping. But really what it is saying here is that when you become overwhelmed with the peace and the joy of the Lord, as you go out, all of nature is just like celebrating. You're not literally going to see a mountain like singing, but it's like it's you have such a different viewpoint, like, man, God is so good. And you just feel like all of nature is rejoicing. When you learn to think God thoughts instead of your own, not only, you're not going to just like, oh, I'm in church where I have peace. How many of you remember that Saul, you know, when he was tormented by an evil spirit, he would have a musician, David, came and played. And while he played, that's when he had peace. But what happened when the music stopped? The peace went along with it. Sometimes if we just live basically on our emotions, like, oh, I listened to that song and received some peace, but let me tell you, when the song was over, I still had peace. So it wasn't a song putting me into some kind of weird trance or anything like that. No, it was the truth of the word that came in through a song and got planted and it grew, and I haven't struggled with it anymore. Amen? So we need to do that. We need to realize that we've got to get it. And once we walk out of these doors, listen, Monday morning happens for everybody, doesn't it? It's like, oh man, yesterday was so wonderful in the presence of the Lord and it was so great. Oh, now I'm back to work. How many of you know, if that's our mindset, then I've got to get peace down in here. I can't just experience peace when everything is good. Oh, the music is good and the presence of the Lord and all of that, because you can go with the presence of the Lord to your job site, to changing your baby's diapers or whatever situation may unfold tomorrow for you. But we've got to change those thoughts. You can't change your thoughts on your own. You've got to allow the Word of God to come in. Yeah, whatever way God uses that. So here's the thing. You cannot have peace if you let the devil pull you into that thought realm. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we are out of peace and we feel like we got to reason and figure this out. Amen? Anybody ever like have a moment where you didn't have it, there was a circumstance and you were going to figure it out? You're going to fix this thing. I know I've done that. All right, here's the situation. Okay, God, I need you to help me because I'm going to figure this thing out. Amen? And so the devil pulls us into that realm and we're trying to figure it out, and you work a plan only to find out that plan didn't work. And so you try something else. Listen, if you're going through something that is bringing you a lack of peace, if you're not factoring in God's written word into your situation, you're going to be deceived. Amen? What do you mean? If you don't plug God's word in what he says about that situation, then you're just going to be in the realm of trying to figure out everything your own self. And the scripture says this, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but it only leads to this death or destruction, right? So you can try to figure it all out yourself, or you can say, okay, God, what does your word say about this situation? What do you say? And you think about it, what calmed the shepherds? When they were afraid of, the angels appeared. This is kind of scary. What happened? They began to speak the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid. I've got good news for you. So they started speaking a word from the Lord, and it calmed them down, and they went into Bethlehem and found everything just as the angels had said. And so what calmed them was not like, you know, a lot of glitter and, ooh, this is so wonderful. No, it was the word that came from the angels, from the Lord. That's what calmed them. And so you see, Satan loves to challenge our minds with doubts and fears, and he tries to drown out the word of the Lord. Again, if you've been serving the Lord for a number of years, no doubt you have a lot of scripture logged up. You may not be able to quote chapter and verse, but you've heard it enough that you know that it's true. But if we don't constantly meditate on that word, then the things that the enemy speaks to us begin to drown it out, and we no longer hear that. We hear what the enemy says. Oh, you need to worry. Oh, no. And what did the enemy say to Eve? Did God really say this? How many of you have ever experienced something like that? You're in a situation. You know what God's word says, but the situation seems so much louder than God's word. And you may not have thought, did God really say this? You're like, yeah, I know God's word says this, but here's my situation. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard people say that. Or they'll come with the situation, and they're like, well, this is what I'm in. And I'm like, well, you know God's word. Well, I know what says that, but come on. Why is it so quiet in here? How many of you know I'm telling you the truth? We like to butt God out of our situation. I know that it's true, but this is bigger than what God even imagined. My situation is more complicated. I don't know if God can handle this. Isn't that crazy? But that's the thing. And so how do I resist the enemy? How do I resist this confusion with the word? How do I do that? We have to actively, you know, begin to choose to allow God's word in. What does 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this? 10:4 and 5. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing Christ. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. I love this verse because the battle that we face is all up here, isn't it? We use God's mighty weapons, not world, to knock down strongholds. Where's human reasoning reside? And we've all done that. Even as believers, we have used and relied on human reasoning sometimes more than we've relied on God. It's like, well, this doesn't make sense. Well, of course it doesn't make sense because we just read out of Isaiah where it says God's ways are higher than our ways and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So if it doesn't make sense, then you're probably on track. If you just go with what makes sense, then you're just walking the river of human reasoning. How do I destroy that? How do I get over that? The proud obstacles. How many of you know pride keeps people from walking in peace? I'm not going to submit. No, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to tell anybody my struggles. And that will hinder you from going forward. So these destructive thoughts arise. How many of you know we need to meet those thoughts with a counter thought? Whenever they come up in your mind like, oh no, what am I going to do with these bills? I don't have enough money. You know, how many of you heard this one? You know, that just as soon as you get to the point where you feel like you can make ends meet, all of a sudden they move the ends. Anybody ever been there? Oh yes, I got a raise. Isn't that wonderful? Now we'll have enough money. Wait, what happened? Anybody else ever been there? So when those thoughts come in and you begin to feel a lot of guilt and you struggled, you blew it, you did something, Romans 5:1 is a great counter thought to come back to that thought. Since I have been declared righteous by faith, I have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You begin to use God's word against those thoughts that are going on in your mind. The enemy will drop those thoughts in your mind on a regular basis. He will use other people to drop those thoughts. He will use all kinds of things. And when you feel like you're in a battle and you feel like you're losing, What does the scripture say in Isaiah 54:17? No weapon formed against me will prosper, and I will refute any accusation raised against me in court. Listen, whatever the enemy's trying to do to me, he can, and I've always thought about this, no weapon formed against you will succeed or will prosper. That doesn't mean the enemy's not still building that weapon. How many of you know that? You may see the weapon in full force, but you know what? It's not going to succeed. Just as, Haman built the gallows, yes. The weapon was built, but it didn't succeed, did it? Yeah, it got him. It backfired. How many of you know the enemy is forming stuff against you, but it's going to backfire? Amen? If you will begin to walk in the and begin to refute that. You know, what about when you're in an area where you're struggling financially? You know what the scripture says in Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing that I lack. If you've got the Lord, I want to tell you, you've got everything you need. Oh, well, I need a car. I need this. I need that. You know what? You don't need anything other than the Lord. Because if you begin to walk in a strong relationship with Him, He will give you the things that you need. Amen? Not necessarily the things you want, just a heads up there. Psalms 103, verses 2 through 4. My soul praises the Lord. Do not forget all of His benefits. He forgives all of your sin. Amen? He heals all of your disease. And He redeems your life from the pit. How many of you know these are good counterpunches to what the enemy wants to say? But if you don't know the Word of God, and if you don't listen to the Word of God, and you don't get the Word of God in you, then it's like you're going to get popped, and you're like, man, I wish I had something for that. All right? I wish I had something for that. You got to get it in there. Romans 8:1, therefore, now there is no condemnation that exists for those that are in Christ Jesus. When you're walking around feeling condemnation and feeling all of that, wait a minute. The scripture says that there is none. If I'm in Christ Jesus, I have no condemnation. Amen? So we've got to get it in here. We've got to get it into our mind, and we've got to be prepared to do battle. If you just give up, you know, oh, no, the devil's been beating me up, it's time to beat him back up. Amen? It's time to bring the word and walk in the victory and the peace that God has given us. But you can't, how many of you know, I can't fight the battle for you. I can come alongside and I can encourage, and that's what we are to do. We are to encourage, but have you ever tried to encourage somebody that didn't want to be encouraged? Come on, I mean, you're speaking the word to them. They're like down in the dumps for whatever reason, and you're trying to encourage them, and you're trying to build them up, and you're trying to speak the word of God, and you're trying to hold them. But, you know, if somebody just is like limp and doesn't even want to try to fight, you can't fight it for them. We have to rise up and become the men and the women of God that we've been called to do. Amen? We've got to actively take the word, and we hear it from other people. They may speak it to us, and just because you may not feel it, here's where we struggle. It's like, yeah, I know that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, but I just don't feel it right now. And so because you don't feel it, you don't fight. We've got to say, okay, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, and I don't really feel it, but God's word says it, so I'm going to begin to declare that. How many of you know something begins to happen? Inside your spirit, inside your mind, the thoughts that you're defeated and that you're never going to succeed will slowly begin to drift away, and God will begin to restore who you really are. But we've got to rise up, and we've got to do it. Fact is, we cannot have worry and peace at the same time. They don't exist together. You know, how can I have peace if I have worry? And how can you have worry if you have peace? They don't exist in the same atmosphere. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, and I love this out of the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Oh, I just want to stop right there for a minute. Does that mean anything except this situation? Except what you're going through. Wait a minute. Don't worry about anything except for what the doctor just told me last week. No. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all that He has done. I love this. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen? You want to have peace? It's not just going to happen. You're not going to like, okay, if I can just capture this moment in church where the music was playing and everything was so wonderful and everyone's worshiping the Lord, if I can just encapsulate that and take that with me in my car, how many of you know you can't do that? But you can take the peace that you got while you were here and you can take that with you.